It is in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. I'll begin reading for you in verse 9. It says, "What then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." We're going to jump down for the sake of time to verse 21. It says, "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." From these passages of Scripture, we'll use as a theme this morning righteousness. Righteousness. And for a subtopic, I just want to use the vamp of a song. Brother Hezekiah Walker took Psalm 51 and he said, "Created me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit." And in that vamp, it says, "Forgive me. Try me once again. I'm sorry. I'm sorry." And then he finally says, "Just restore the joy in me." When we begin to look at this particular passage, we're discussing righteousness. Righteousness is a 13-letter word with a lot of meaning. It refers to the absolute quality of God, who always acts in harmony with his moral nature. Further, God's character is the standard by which righteousness is measured. Conformity to these ethical norms and policy were revealed in his law. These commandments were given to Israel in the book of Exodus chapter 20 and reiterated it again in Deuteronomy chapter 5. In Deuteronomy 5, starting with verse 6, they gave you the law. It says, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God." Thus, righteousness is not an abstract quality, but rather acting in harmony with your obligation to God and to one another. Adam was not righteous, but was innocent, meaning that he did not know good or nor evil until after that he had sinned in the garden. After sin revealed his wrong, Adam tried to make himself presentable to God, hiding his nakedness by making coverings out of fig leaves. And today man is still trying to cover up his mistakes, his sins, in an attempt to justify himself. Each dispensation that followed, man could never become righteous on his own merit. Rather, God had to input righteousness by the declaration of God that a person is righteous, not by the virtue of that person's act, but by the virtue of his or her faith in God. This is why Isaiah 64 and 6 tells us, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The writer to the Hebrews makes it plain in chapter 11, and he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. He goes on to say, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. In the fifth verse he says, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. I don't know about you, but I want that testimony that I please God. But the sixth verse says, but without faith, hallelujah, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The writer to the Hebrews also begins to tell us in that 10th chapter, in the 38th verse, he says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now, when I get to the point of the altar call, don't draw back, because he won't have no pleasure in you. Come on down, because the price is right. In our text, the Apostle Paul, according to Acts chapter 18, was in Corinth, where he had met a Jewish couple, Aquila and his wife Priscilla, who had just come from Italy. Paul lives with them in Corinth, and he works with them and ministers with them. They continue in ministry in Corinth for, some scripture says, a year and 6 months. Because of the communication with Aquila and Priscilla, Paul is aware of the church in Rome, and although he had not established the church, Paul wanted to come to Rome to seek and preach to the saints. Thus he writes and sends this letter to this group of Christians in Rome to introduce himself to them and provide facts about his missionary labors. It is worth noting that this epistle, the epistle to the Romans, is the longest and most theological of Paul's New Testament letters. Here he wants to make sure that this predominantly Gentile church had a sure understanding, a sure foundation of the doctrine of righteousness and of salvation by faith. This letter was designed to build them up in Christ Jesus. In chapter 1, Paul gives his opening introduction. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. Paul continues in that first chapter to inform them, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm not ashamed to tell the world that I've been baptized in Jesus' name. I'm not ashamed to tell them that I speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God give utterance, not as some man taught me. Hallelujah. But I'm not ashamed. I'm proud to be called a child of God. He goes on to say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power, hallelujah, of God, unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As As it is written, they, the just shall live by faith. In chapter 2, Paul explains that guilt is universal. He says, when he writes, he says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same thing. We all know people that do things that are not right in the sight of the Lord. However, have you considered ourselves? Sin is sin. There are no big and no little sins. If you took a pad or ink pen from your office at work, you stole it. It's sin. You tell yourself and try to justify, oh, that wasn't sin. They buy them for us to use all of that. Yes, to use at work. Say, take home and put in your child's box for his school supplies. Hallelujah. Say amen, somebody, or ouch. If you drove over 30 miles speed limit in town, you broke the law. Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah. Lord, have mercy. Lord, and don't let us get on the interstate. The speed limit is 70, but somehow our cars tend to go 80, some 90, and I dare not say anymore. You might get pulled over by the police or the trooper and given a ticket. Or you may, if the officer is in a hurry, only be given a warning. Thank you, Jesus, for a warning. Thank you, Jesus, for a warning. In chapter 3, Paul reaffirms that all have sinned and come short. In other words, don't measure up. There's some folk that just ain't measuring up. All of us of the glory of God. Hence, we are all in need of salvation. And the law could not save us, but God, a righteousness that will save us. Apart from the law. And that the essence of God's plan is in Jesus Christ. I'm about ready to close, but Paul uses three terms to express his teaching about salvation. There's a lot in this, and it's going to be a series of Bible study to really break it down. But Paul, for today, we're just going to talk about three terms that he uses when he begins to teach and discuss about salvation. The first is justification. The second is redemption. And the third is propitiation. Justification is a term from the court of law. It signifies that one charged with a crime must establish his or her innocence to be justified. However, we are guilty in trespasses and sin. So how can we establish our innocence? It is here. The justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardons our sins by faith in Jesus Christ. Redemption, the second thing. Redemption is a term from slavery and from prisoners of war. Redemption refers to the idea of buying back. In other words, you're caught, you're there, your ownership of the ones that have you. And you, to get your release, you got to be purchased. You got to be bought back. It involves a cost. But I thank God. Jesus bought us on Calvary's cross with his blood. The Greek word dorian means free. Not cheap and not discounted. So many times we go to the store, we say, oh, I got a deal. It was on sale. Or I got a deal. It was discounted. It was cheap, but you had to still pay something. But I'm here to tell you today that we wasn't charged anything because Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Hallelujah. Sin left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. The last and final term was propitiation. It is a term from religion. where the gods had to be appeased by a sacrifice. In other words, an atonement had to be made. The ancient Greek word for propitiation was also used for mercy seat. You know the mercy seat. It was the lid covering the Ark of the Covenant. On this lid, the sacrificial blood was sprinkled as an atonement for sin. But Jesus was our substitute. That's why when I hear the songwriter, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, but nothing but the blood. Hey, hallelujah, but the blood of Jesus. I'm so glad that the Lord redeemed me. I'm so glad that he sacrificed his blood for me. I'm so glad that he justified me freely forever. Hallelujah. And because I owe him, that's why I give him glory and praise. And not only do I give him glory and praise, but I continue to keep myself in remembrance of what he brought me from. Every now and then, it shouldn't be a day that goes past that you think of what God had delivered you from. Every day that goes past, it ought to be something that stirs up in your sanctified soul that says, Lord, I thank you, because you ought to be able to look back when you're in trespass and sin, where God did not destroy you and when God did not kill you, but God gave you another chance. I'm so glad that we serve a God that's not just for a second chance and a third chance, but our God is a God of another chance. And that's why I call him every day. I said, Lord, forgive me, because there are things that I might have done that I don't know that I did. There's times that I know I'm driving and I've exceeded the speed limit. Forgive me. Hallelujah. There's times I've been at work. I carry my own pens. But there's times, hallelujah, that I might have grabbed the pad and brought it home. Lord, forgive me. There are things that we do. The Bible even tells us that don't even get mad at one another. But you got to tell them, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I want you to save me some more. You got to tell them, Lord, try me once again. Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation, because I want to go home with you. I want heaven as my home. And I'm not worried about judging nobody else, because I've got to look at the mirror at myself. And I got to go before God myself and say, Lord, forgive me. Help me. Deliver me. Hallelujah. That's why I tell you that we got to love one another. Because Peter tells you that charity, which is love, covers a multitude of sin. You want to know how that you can get out of that situation? Love your neighbor. Love your brother and sister in Christ. Stop speaking bad. Stop talking about. But pray for. Lift up the name of God and exalt him. And watch God change your heart. And take that old stony heart out and give you a heart of flesh. A heart of love. A heart of compassion. And where you've got compassion, you will reap it. It will come to you again. I don't know about you, but I need help. I want to be righteous, but I can't do it on my own. So many of you say, well, I'm going to come to God. I'm going to get baptized when I get myself together. You can't get yourself together. Did you hear the word? There's no good thing in you. Nothing good in this flesh. But you need to come to Jesus. Because Jesus can fix it. Jesus can correct it. First, you got to be washed in his blood. Take on his name. That shows a sign that you believe in him. Oh, but you back up every time I say, oh, I've been baptized. Oh, I'm not ready yet. That means you don't believe. Because if you believe, you will come running, asking what I must do to be saved. Since you don't believe, now that's a war against you. Since you don't believe, what it Hebrews 11:6 tell you, without faith, it is impossible to please him. So you're not going to be pleasing in his sight. But I challenge you today. I declare, as Paul declared, that you find out about Jesus. You sing about Jesus. You pray to Jesus. Get baptized in the name of Jesus. Because in baptism, there's remission of sin. Now that you baptized in him and your sins have been remitted. And see, the key thing is being baptized in his name. When he tells them in Matthew 28:19, teaching all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. When Peter stands up in Acts 2, he doesn't reiterate the titles because he knows who the Father is. He was there on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus transformed and figured himself from the flesh to the almighty anointed God. He knew who the Son was. He was the Son in redemption. That's why John tells us in the Gospel according to John in chapter 1, he said, we beheld him as of the only begotten of the Son. Paul reaffirmed it in our lesson that we seek today. He said he came in as a seed of David after the flesh. It had to be according to the flesh to fulfill Scripture. See, our God can't lie. What he says is done. And he sends the Holy Ghost back. He says, I'm going to send you another comforter like unto myself. So I'll be with you always. The Holy Ghost is Jesus manifested on the inside of us. So when we're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, we're baptized in the name of Jesus. And we've got to call that name. Neither is there salvation. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must. It didn't say might. It said must. It didn't say if you want to. It said must. If you want to be saved, be baptized in the name. Hey, glory to the Lord. See, after you've been baptized in the name, your sins have been remitted. Now, if you act up, and if you cut up, and you slip, and you fall, don't stay down. It's time to get back up. That's when you ought to have a heart of repentance at all times. Forgive me. Try me once again. Restore me. Save me. Deliver me. Help me. Come into me. Hey, audible. Hallelujah. That's why a child of God ought to always have a repentant heart. It ought to be every day that we rise after going down on our knees and telling the Lord, forgive me. That's why when you begin to see David as he wrote it in Psalm 51, he knew his sin after the prophet had come to him and said, you are the man. You kill Uriah. You taken his wife. Hallelujah, you are the man. A lot of times there's stuff that we do that we are gleaned over, that we don't see all the sin that we do. Somebody's got to point it out. The Word of God will point it out. Here after David had realized that he was out with the will of God, he began to come back and said, purge me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. Wash me, and I'll be whiter than snow. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Create in me a clean heart. Hallelujah. Renew right salvation. Every now and then you ought to tell the Lord, clean me up. Renew right salvation. Deliver me, hallelujah, from this ungodly world. Restore unto me joy. I want to be clean on the inside. I want to be delivered. I want to be saved. I want to go home with you. I want to be in paradise with Christ Jesus. That's why I need your help. That's why I need your deliverance. That's why I need your forgiveness. Yes, Lord, it's me. It's me standing in the need of prayer. Somebody ought to say it's me. Somebody ought to say it's me. Somebody ought to come down the steps and say it's me. I need him. Hallelujah. It's an individual thing. It's an individual thing. Peter says, save yourself. I don't care who's looking at you, who you worried about impressing, I ain't worried about impressing nobody. I got to make it to heaven. I got to make it. Husband and wife, mama and daddy ain't going to help you make it to heaven. But we serve Almighty God that redeemed you, that justifies you. Hallelujah. And that was your propitiation. He was your sacrifice. His blood is on that mercy seat. What can wash away your sin?
Nothing.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make you whole again?
Nothing.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Today's your day. Last week I told you you might die that night. But God's grace and mercy let you come back this week. I don't know if you'll be here next week. There was some in the parking lot last week that's not in the parking lot this week. There's someone that went to the hospital last week that's not here. But you got to make the choice on your own. Salvation is free. It's free. Jesus paid it all. But all to him, ow! Guilt left a crimson stain, but he washed it whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your people. We thank you for everyone that we've been able to reach over the airwaves. Lord, save your people. Touch your people. Forgive your people. Heal your people. Restore your people. Sanctify your people. Justify your people. Make your people holy, acceptable in thy sight. Lord, right now, God, work on the heart, the mind, the spirit. Let your people know what they have need of, what they need to do. And let them be found doing thy will. Be found doing thy will. That you'll say, well done, thy good and faithful servants. Enter into the joy of the Lord. The rest you have for your people. Lord, we want to present a people before you that have made themselves ready for the coming of the Lord. Because it's any day now that we'll be going home. Right now as we come, Lord, we come against the adversary that's trying to hold your people back. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. 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 One more time. Satan, the Lord rebuke thee. We claim victory in the name of Jesus. Healing, deliverance, peace, joy, strength, salvation in the name of Jesus. What I say unto one, I say unto all, watch.